Father, once again, now we thank you for the Word of God that you've given us, Lord, to open, to share today. May the Spirit of God be our teacher, Lord, and may, as we look at this subject again today on forgiveness, and we look at these examples of human forgiveness, Lord, may you help us, Lord, today in our lives to be what you would have us to be. Lord, we know that without you, we can't be anybody or anything. And God, we just ask you to help us today. Lord, may you be honored. May you be glorified. Be with those that are sick, hurting today that would like to be here but can't. I pray, Lord, you bless them. Give them help so maybe soon they can be back with us today. Keep those, Lord, that are traveling safe. Lord, have your will and way today in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Today, again, last week, we talked about, last 2 weeks, we've been talking about why forgive. Why should we forgive? We said we forgive because if we forgive, why, then you'll be forgiven. We read that in the scripture right there. We also said we need to forgive because we display the love of God, how God loves us, and we need to forgive so we can be forgiven. We see that as a forgiver, we are forgiven. The anxiety, the hurt, the anger, whatever it is that was in us, bitterness and all, if we learn to forgive, why, it relieves us, it frees us as a person, individual, you see. So we talked about that. We talked about also how we're to forgive. We looked in Ephesians chapter 4 last week, all those verses there, how Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, explaining to them how they are to forgive. And things where we as a believer, when we become a Christian, there is a change in us, and there's also a challenge in us. That change is a sudden thing, but that challenge is a gradual thing that by the grace of God and the work of God, he enables us to be more like him. So we looked at that last week. Now, today we're going to pick up over in the book of Genesis, please, chapter 25. We said last week that Paul, as he writes to the church at Ephesus there, we see that he went from the from faith to the practice of faith. In other words, it's good to know you're saved on the way to heaven, and, you know, Christ is in your heart, but how about practicing our faith? You know, how do people know that we are Christians, you see? Faith without works, the Bible says, is dead. Genesis chapter 25. And so we see here that as he gave those examples in Ephesians 4, how we're to be practicing forgiveness. And again, forgiveness is not something that's going to come suddenly. You know, we need to learn to practice it before it happens to us when we need really to forgive. Because we all do. There's probably not a day of our lives, in our lives, that something doesn't come up to cause us to need to forgive. Need to forgive. What's happened? Something suddenly? It can be something gradually. But we'll look at this today. Okay, today, as we look at these examples of human forgiveness here, first of all, we're going to look at the life of Esau and Jacob. In Genesis chapter 25, we'll begin reading in verse number 20 as we give this account today of Esau and Jacob. In verse number 20, the Bible says, verse number 19, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. And verse 20 says, and Isaac, that's his son, was 40 years old when he took Rebekah. In other words, Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. Now look at verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. He went before the Lord for his wife. Now we see in verse number 26, we see where they were married for 20 years almost when Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah. And we see because she was barren, he went before the Lord, and the Lord entreated him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. In other words, he was concerned about his wife. Of course, they wanted children. We know what happened prior to this, what happened with him. But we see here, because Rebekah was without child, he entreated the Lord, and the Lord entreated him and gave her conception. And we see in verse number 22, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Now, first of all, we're going to look at three things today. We're going to look at the conception and also the birth of these two sons. The conception and the birth of these two sons. That's what we're looking at right now. Then we're going to look at the difference of their character. their character, how they're made different. And then we're going to look at Esau selling his birthright, and we get to that today. I hope we will. So if we see, first of all, the conception here. Isaac entreated the Lord. The Lord entreated him, and she became, his wife, Rebekah, became with child. We see here, Isaac was 40 years old when they got married. He was 60 years old when Rebekah conceived the son. Verse number 26 tells us that, verse 21. Now, we see also, look at verse number 23. After she inquired of the Lord, in verse 22, verse 23 says, "And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Don't forget that. The elder shall serve the younger. It says that in verse number 23. Verse 24 says, "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb." Twin, there were two in there. Verse 25, "And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called him Esau." Esau. Verse 26, "And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." He was 60 years old. So we see here now that Isaac was concerned about his wife, Rebekah, because they had no children. He entreated the Lord, and the Lord entreated him, and she was conceived, Rebekah was conceived, and she had two children. They were twins. They were both boys. And we see here, this is the conception and the birth of these young men here we see in verses 19 through 26. Now, let's notice the difference between these men. Verse 27 and verse 28. Notice, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field." He was a hunter. Esau was a hunter. He was a man of the field outside. Okay? But notice the last part. "And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents." He didn't get out much. He was dwelling in tents. In verse 28, it says, "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob." Now, you will have two parents. They have two sons. Isaac loves one and Rebekah loves another. That's okay, I reckon, but it's probably better for both to love both, right? And we see here what's going to happen later on because of this. Their character was different. And you know, sometimes our character responds to other people's character, don't we? Personalities sometimes clash. And sometimes personalities come together. First of all, these men were prayed for. We see they were prophesied before they were born. In verse 22 and verse 23 tells us that. We see here how she was perplexed because of what was going on within her body and the children struggled within her. And then we see how she got relief. She inquired of the Lord. And the Lord instructed her, gave her information, you see. And when they were born, there was a great difference between these men. There was a great difference between these young boys as they brought both forth. They were very unlike in their temper, of minds, and their way of living. They were different men. The interests and these affections of their parents were different also. Isaac loved one, Rebekah loved the other. Isaac loved Esau, Rebekah loved Jacob here in this story we're talking about here. And we see here what happened. So we see now, here we have the conception and the birth of two sons here. And we also see there are different characters as God gives us this in the Word here. Look at verse number 29. Verse 29 says, "And Jacob sowed pottage." That is, he loved it. He loved it very much. "And Esau came from the field, and he was faint." In other words, Esau had been out in the field, and Jacob was eating, of course. And we see here in verse number 29, "And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom." Now, you can imagine being out in the field working hard, probably a long time, coming to the house, being hungry. I've done that many times. Most of you have. Now here he is hungry. He's come down. He's inquiring of his brother some food here. And verse number 31 says, "And Jacob said," notice this, "Sell me this day thy birthright." sell me this day my birthright. Here we see a bargain made between Jacob and Esau about a birthright taking place here. You know, a birthright served many privileges for somebody. There was no doubt there was a high value in their birthrights. We know that he was be the headship of tribes and families here as a birthright. The birthright was very valuable to him. And sometimes we are like he was. We don't consider something before we do it. We just all of a sudden do it because it's thrown out to us. We also see here the birthright is the possession of the most of the property of the family. The birthright involves this. And here we find here a bargain being made between Jacob and Esau concerning this. You know, I think about our birthrights as Christians. We have the privilege, folks, of being born and raised in a God-fearing country, America. But I'm afraid the sad thing is America is selling its birthright. It's selling it to less than pottage, really, to the world, the things of the world. I think about our country. I think about our families. I think about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid today, folks, it's not as important to us as it was years ago because of the world that we live in. We don't cherish it like we should. We don't consider it sometimes like we should. We're kind of like Esau was here. He's not considering what he's doing before he does it. We need to ask God to help us in this world in which we live concerning the great birthright that we have given here. We need to not sell ourselves. Consider what we have. Consider what we've had in our life. You know, the opportunity every Sunday to come to Sunday school and church, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Folks, let's don't take that for granted. We come to be fed the Word of God, to grow in the Word of God, and to encourage one another in our faith in Jesus Christ. And we need that today more than ever. We need that today more than ever. May the Lord help us here as we look at this situation, what's taking place here by Esau selling his birthright. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 32, and Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? He was in a sad state, wasn't he? He was at his weakest point in his life. You know, isn't that just like Satan? He comes to us when we're at our lowest, or at our weakest point in our life. This is exactly what he did here with Esau, you see, through his brother, you see. And we see here, Jacob chose the right time. Jacob was a deceiver. He chose the right time to get from his brother what he wanted. Here, we see this. His desire was the birthright, and he obtained it in a sneaky way, so to speak. He chose the right time. He made the right bargain. He knew that he was hungry. This is the way to get it, because he was hungry, and he made it sure, and he got it confirmed. Look at verse number 33, and Jacob says, swear to me this day, talking to Esau, swear to me this day, and he swore it to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. The devil knows how to plan and to destroy us. He knows how to plan and to hinder you from being and me from being what we ought to be, you know, as a Christian or as a non-Christian. God wants to destroy all of us. Well, thank God he can't destroy the Christian. He might destroy the body. But the souls will be with the Lord Jesus throughout eternity. We'll see here that what happened here, Jacob chose the right time. He made the bargain. He made it sure from his brother here, and he got it confirmed. And we see because of this, verse number 34, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. At this time of his life, he despised his birthright. We see here his foolish sale he made. His appetite was very strong in verse 29 and 30. He was very hungry. We see his reason was very weak in verse 32. He didn't consider, he didn't reason what he was doing by selling this. And we see he wasn't sorry for it at all. In verse 34, he said he despised his birthright. He despised his birthright. What God had was going to give him, provide for him. He despised it. He said that at this time. So we see here, Esau selling his birthright to his son through deception and all this. Now, turn over to chapter 27. Chapter 27. We're trying to plan this story, an example here, what happened when people forgive. Now, in chapter 27, verse number 1, we see, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son? And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. Now notice, in verses 1 through 5, we're seeing a purpose here of Isaac. His purpose is to give the blessing to who? Tell me. Esau. His plan, his purpose is to give the birthright to Esau. Now we see also here in verse number 2, why he considered now. Verse number 2 says, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. I know I'm going to soon die. I know I'm going to soon die. Probably one of the hardest things to do in the life is whenever your mama, dad, or whoever it is, maybe is getting real sick and at the end of life, you know, we had to get together and plan the burial and plan all this kind of stuff. You know, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? It really is. And plan, you know, if you have anything, who's going to get what and all that kind of stuff. That's a hard thing to do because you don't want to think about dying. But folks, that's something we all do, isn't it? We're all going to do one day. Jesus tarries, is coming. But here he recognizes, we see that Isaac, he knew that he was getting old now, and he had some inheritance, and he wanted to give it to Esau. He was trying to plan everything out here and all this. And we see he was giving direction. Verse number 3. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. We know this was his thing with his father. He'd go out and kill whatever it was, and bring it in and dress it and cook it. And his father loved what he did because he was a good cook, no doubt. And so now he's making preparation here and giving directions to Esau here. In verse number 4, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. I'm going to die soon. I don't know when I'm going to die soon, but I'd like to have some more of that good food that you cook, you know, before I die. I would like to have that. He's giving him directions. Isaac is giving Esau directions here, and it's his purpose of what is taking place here. But notice what happened. Something's taking place here. He tells to get something ready. He's telling to get ready. Isaac is telling Esau to get ready because I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I don't know when, but I'm going to die. But notice what takes place. Verse number 5. And Rebekah, now, who does Isaac love? Who does Rebekah love? Jacob. Notice what happens now. In verse number 5. And Rebekah heard. What did she hear? The conversation, no doubt, between them. And Rebekah heard Isaac spake to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Esau is obeying his daddy. He's going out to the field to get the venison to come back and provide for him for what he needs. But Rebekah heard the conversation, what's taking place. Now, verse 6 says, And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. She heard the conversation. Verse number 8. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Now Rebekah says, I want you to do what I ask you to do now. Go now to the flock and fetch me therefore two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Now, what is Rebekah trying to do here? She's trying to deceive Isaac. We'll see that. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, verse 10, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. We see here some partiality, don't we? We see here some plotting against Jacob for Rebekah, the wife. She wants Jacob to get the inheritance, right? But we see that Isaac wants Esau to get the inheritance here. We see struggles between two brothers. We see struggles between two parents concerning those boys taking place here. And we see what's happened here. We see here his great enemy to his brother. We see taking place here. Now, look at, if you will, please, in the next verse. She told him to go out and get something from the flock, bring it to him, and prepare something for her, like her father. She's going to prepare it. And verse number 10 told us that. In verse 11, and Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. In other words, we're different. He's a hairy man. My father, verse 12, peradventure will fill me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Like, you know, it's not. I'm not really going to be a deceiver. I'm going to seem like I'm a deceiver, you know. But that's what he's doing. He's plotting to do that through Rebekah. Rebekah is. And he says, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. If I go in there and do what you ask me to do, I'm going to be a deceiver, and it's going to be a curse upon me and not a blessing. But notice what Rebekah said in the next verse, 13. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Boy, she was straightforward, wasn't she? You got to do what I tell you to do. I want you to have the inheritance and not Esau. So we see here, all this stuff still going on here. And in the verse 14, and he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. He goes out and obeys the mother. Esau is going out to obey the father. And we see here what takes place. We see the malice here takes place. The method that Rebekah took to prevent this mischief here. Look at verse number 40. And by the sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke off thy neck. Now Esau hated, verse 41, Esau hated Jacob. There's a conflict here between the two brothers because of what's taking place. Because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him, and Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother. Now what has taken place here? We know, first of all, Isaac sent Esau out to get the venison and all that. And then Rebekah sent Jacob out. Well, Jacob come back before Esau got back and went into his father, all dressed up like Esau, went in and told his father about the venison. His father had a question, why did you do, how did you do so fast? And we find here that he said, well, you know, because of my nature. But anyway, he brought it in, he gave him food, you know, and his father blessed him, and he went out. Not long had he went out, here come Jacob. Here come Esau with his venison and went in to do the same thing. And then that's when Isaac questioned, what's going on? What's going on? Something is not right. Something is not right here, you see. And so we see here, Rebekah, she was a big role in this trouble between these two boys. They're her two sons here, you see. Verse 42, and these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as such in thee, doth confront himself, purposing to kill thee. In other words, there's great animosity now. There's trouble in the camp, so to speak. What's going on here? And we see that Esau now, according to Rebekah, is going to try to kill Jacob because of what he did. He stole the birthright, then he went in, and all these things take place in this story here. Rebekah was feared. She wanted to get Jacob away, and she impressed Isaac with the necessity of Jacob going away, going among her to take him a wife. She sent him off to Laban and to be with him at this time. So we see here in this story that what's taking place. Now, in chapter 28, Jacob is leaving his parents from the charge his father gave him. Chapter 28, look at verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go. He told them where to go to Padan, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence, the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee. Thou mayest be a multitude of people. And of course, he goes through and encourages him, the blessings he sent him away with, his obedience in verse number 5, in verse number 10, how he did exactly what he said. Isaac went away, and Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went. The Bible says in verse number 10, he says, And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. We find here to find himself a wife, and we find the influence this had upon Esau in verses number 6. So when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padanaram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone. Esau, seeing this, verse 8, that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took him wives which he had. In other words, he took the wives of the Canaanites. So we find here the influence he had upon Esau. What I'm saying here, what you do and what I do in our life is going to have an influence upon somebody else, isn't it? We influence people by what we do all the time. And we see here Esau and Jacob here, they're brothers. There was a divided family here because of the parents, because of the boys. There's a division here. And there's trouble, if you please, in the home here. Now, turn over to chapter 33. Chapter 33. Notice here what takes place. All this is taking place now, and years of time have gone by. And we see a meeting here is going to take place between Jacob and Esau. Chapter 33, verse 1, And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him he was coming towards Esau with 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and the children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them. Notice this Esau did. He passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. 7 times he bowed. Verse 4 says, And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Here's reunion time, folks. Jacob discerned Esau's approach, not by having prayer committed him to God. He prayed. He put his family into the best order he could to receive him. In verse number 2 of chapter 33, then we see the expression of his kindness between them as they got together. Jacob, notice, bowed to Esau. Esau embraced Jacob. And they both wept. They both had done wrong, had they not? Both had done wrong to each other. And we see they come together now. They wept. They wept for joy to be received by his brother. Jacob did, and Esau, he wept for grief and shame. of his life. What had happened in his place. Folks, the Bible, the stories in the Bible, they do portray the character of the individuals, don't they? They tell us exactly who they are, the life they live. It doesn't cover up anything. The Bible does. And God, who is able to change the hearts of Esau, here to a kind to kindness. What a joy. What a glad thing to know that God can do that. You know, there may be somebody in our life that we're ashamed. We're ashamed to even approach them because of maybe the way they treated us. We need to be like Esau. We need to ask God to help us. If we are willing to right what is wrong and trust God to prepare the way. If we're willing to make right what's wrong, pray and trust God to make the way, whatever that way may be. We see Esau, a change of heart. Two brothers should meet again. These two brothers, they made this conclusion. And this is a good conclusion. Their relationship, Esau and Jacob's relationship, was more important to them than their estate, what they were going to get. And folks, that's very true. What we get in this life is going to be destroyed one day. And our relationship with one another, as children of God, as brothers and sisters, moms and dads, whoever we are, our relationships with each other is more important than anything we could ever get in this world. We see this here. Forgiveness. Forgiveness in the life of Esau and Jacob here. Even though their parents were not the best parents, especially Rebekah, she did not do what she ought to have done. But yet they still, in time, as time went on, you know, it's an amazing thing how time takes care of a lot of problems, don't it? Time heals a lot of things in our lives. And we see God working in these people's lives here. We see how God brought them back together as brothers. They reunited and they forgave one another of what had happened years ago in their life. There may be something in your life that happened years ago to you and you have never forgotten it. You never forgiven it. You never given it to God. Trust Him. We need to do that, folks. We need to do that. Realize that God has forgiven us of everything, hasn't He? And because of that, we ought to be willing to forgive others of anything in our lives that should not be there. May the Lord help us as we look at Esau and Jacob here, Isaac and Rebekah, and look at this example here of human forgiveness. Human forgiveness. May God help us to be forgivers. Father, we thank You for loving us. Thank You, Lord, for forgiving us, Lord, of our sins and our shortcomings in our lives. Father, we thank You for the examples that You have given us in the Word of God to instruct us and teach us, God, the way we are to live also. And God, I just pray You'd help us, Lord, as we go through these weeks, Lord, looking at examples in the Word of God about people forgiving one another. Lord, help us to realize, Lord, that this is what You would have us to do. And Lord, I just pray, God, You give us the grace, the strength we need as we face problems in our life and things in our life and people and circumstances, Lord, that we might be able to do like these people did, Lord, with Your help. Lord, we know we have the same nature they did. And God, I just pray now, Lord, You'd help us, strengthen us, guide us as we continue our study on the subject of forgiveness. Lord, bless now the service we're about to go into. Speak to hearts. Challenge us as Your children, Lord, to live for You. And God, help that one that may be lost today to get saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.